For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by Dan Witham, LPL Financial.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Good Sunday morning to you. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Money Talk. We are live and local in the KRMG studios, as we are pretty much every Sunday, along with me, Mr. Steve Money, and your host for Money Talk, Mr. Dan Witham. If you have any questions for us today, give us a shout, 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. The host, Mr. Dan Witham. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm good. How are you, Russell?
I'm hanging in for a Sunday.
I like it. I like this weather, kind of dreary and overcast.
I like the fall.
I like it. I enjoy it. I don't tolerate the heat too well. We always give away a free book here on Money Talk. And the book this week, Steve, we've not given away this one.
What is it?
It's called Value Investing from Graham to Buffett and Beyond.
Now, we have given away books by Mr. Graham.
Yes.
Have you given away any books by Mr. Buffett?
Mr. Buffett has not written a book.
No, he does not write books. We've discussed that before.
He's too busy counting his money.
Just makes money. Correct.
But his, like, mentor
was Benjamin Graham.
So if you go from Graham to Buffett, you're really kind of going from Graham to Graham anyway, right?
Yeah, you've got a point.
I'm teasing. Go ahead.
Anyhow, this is an excellent book. It's written by Bruce Greenwald, and this gentleman is unique in the fact that Columbia University hired him to teach Graham's course after Graham left Columbia, Benjamin Graham. So he knows a thing or two about value investing. Obviously, he's taught at Columbia for many years, and he actually teaches Graham's old course that Benjamin Graham taught, which was why Warren Buffett went to Columbia, just to be under Graham, to study under Graham. And so this gentleman knows a lot about investing. He's done interviews in this book with Warren Buffett and Michael Price, Mario Gabelli, and a few other successful investors. And the name Michael Price might not sound familiar to you, but it does to people in my business. He's the head of Franklin Templeton Funds. He also has contributed tens of millions of dollars to the University of Oklahoma. He's an OU grad and probably one of their wealthier graduates. He's a billionaire, so he's probably one of the
wow,
top OU grads, I'd say, financially. He's done pretty well. This is an excellent book. I've been reading this book over the last week, and it's kind of like Graham's The Intelligent Investor with more modern technology and verbiage in it, which is what I like about it. It's a little bit easier to read than Graham's The Intelligent Investor, but it covers the same principles and concepts, but it's much more modern, basically, is what it is, which is all the more reason to read it, I think, for you, the people listening. And we'll send you this book for free, plus a copy of our strategy on our value investments that we're buying for as little as 16 cents on the dollar at present time, especially after last week. Now they're even cheaper. So we'll send that out to you for free along with the book. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we will send the book and the reports out to you absolutely free, no cost and no obligation whatsoever. And I really like the book. It's a very easy read, and it just starts right in with the value philosophy and explains at the beginning how value works and why value works. And then it goes into the techniques that these people use, these money managers have used over the years, to be very, very successful. And statistics have proven that value stocks have lower volatility and higher returns than growth stocks in the long run. Speaking of volatility, Steve.
It was an interesting week on Wall Street this week.
It was, but I will tell you, if you didn't know anything, you would think it was the sky is falling kind of a message.
Right.
Because that's all we heard. Oh, my God, this dropped, that dropped, blah, 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 blah. And you just kind of go, yeah, isn't that kind of called taking your profits because things were going pretty well?
Unless you listened to News 102.3 KRMG and you heard that crack ace reporter Russell Mills, who interviewed
Russell. He's a bad man.
Who interviewed his go-to financial expert, Mr. Dan Witham. And
that's right.
And what did Mr. Witham say?
Well, we said there was a response to a couple things. One was the interest rates. The Fed is hiking interest rates, and they said they're going to continue to hike interest rates.
Which, by the way, was a surprise to no one.
No.
So we saw that coming. All right, the other thing.
The other thing was the China tariffs were one of the things also, as well as profit-taking.
And then profit-taking, which is what Steve mentioned. So it was a correction, and guess what? The stock market has corrections.
Yes.
Like
we typically average two corrections a year of 10% or more. Now, this one didn't reach 10%. It got to about the 6% level, and then the market came back up a little bit on Friday. But we hit about a 6% downdraft, you know, but on Thursday, at the close of business on Thursday, the NASDAQ and the S&P. The NASDAQ got hit pretty good, and that's where tech stocks live. And tech stocks are by nature more volatile. They've also had a better year than the rest of the market for the most part, so they were due to correct. And this was not a surprise. You know, this is the allegory that we talk about with Mr. Market, Steve, all the time about Benjamin Graham. And his book, The Intelligent Investor, refers to Mr. Market, who's a certified lunatic who comes and knocks on your door every day and offers.
And we answer.
Yeah, and we answer. Unfortunately, he offers to buy at very low prices from us, and he offers to sell to us at very high prices. And unfortunately, this past week, there are people who did business with Mr. Market. And this is exactly when you don't want to do business with him on his terms. Yeah. I mean, on his terms, we had people who were selling, you know, in the market all over the United States and around the world, of course. But we also had people who were a little bit smarter who were buying. I had several clients this past week bring me millions of dollars to put in the market.
Wow. Do they need to adopt an old guy?
I don't know.
I'm available.
But I mean, we have clients who realize that this is opportunity and they put money into the market, and we're pouring money into the market right now, which I think is the only way to play this. You know, we sell to Mr. Market when the market drops. We rarely are fortunate enough to sell before the market drops. People don't think about that. They want to sell after the market drops, like on Thursday or Friday, you know, is when they want to sell and get out of the market. That's probably the worst possible time to be getting out of the market, is in the middle of a correction or at the end of a little correction, whatever you want to call this. And I'm not sure we're done yet with our downside movement. We may still have more downside movement. And some people are nervous about the election. We have election coming up, the midterms, in about 3 weeks. I'm not sure that's what's driving this, though. I think this is more an interest rate scenario and or the China scenario. But the interest rates, the Fed is hiking rates simply because the economy is heating up. The Fed's primary goal, their primary task, is to stave off inflation. That's their job, right? Keep inflation under control.
And is it fair to say the method of doing that is controlling the money supply?
Well, they're controlling interest rates. They control,
yes,
the expansion and contraction of the money supply.
Which contributes to controlling the money supply.
Absolutely.
It makes money harder to get. It's harder to borrow.
It makes it more costly.
More costly, exactly.
It makes it more costly. It also makes it affects it in two different ways. One is it what you mentioned, Steve, it makes it more costly, more expensive for a borrower. The other thing is it will restrict borrowing, because fewer people, if you're looking about supply and demand, fewer people will borrow money at a higher interest rate.
That's right.
Because it costs them more money. So you're going to have less demand for the product, basically, which is money in this case. You're going to have less demand for the product to borrow.
Well, you know, when you borrow money, you're really just renting money. It's all you're doing.
Yes.
And how much is your rental rate for that money?
Right.
And that's what they're adjusting.
Right. And the Fed does this, and I was telling Russell about this the other night when he called me the other afternoon. The Fed has to see 6 months to a year down the road. The steps that they take now, the measures they take now, raising interest rates, will not take effect in the economy for about 6 months to a year. So they have to gauge where the economy is going to be 6 months to a year from now. And as we know, the government generally can't even tell us where they were in the past, let alone 6 months from now.
That's
so
kind of funny.
It's a difficult job. And this is what I was trying to point out to Russell, was it's a difficult job for them to do, but they have to do it. They can't respond based on this month's numbers. They have to respond based on what they think they're going to be in 6 months from now. And that's hard to gauge.
So they're kind of following the trends as best as they can.
Yes.
Which way is this going?
Right. And they look at multiple data points. They don't look at the jobs numbers. They look at the housing numbers, the jobs numbers, all the different things, you know, the manufacturing supply numbers, things like that, the purchasing managers index. They have all kinds of data available to them. And what they try to do is try to glean from that data where they think the economy is headed. Now, if the Fed can stave off inflation, in the long run, they're doing us all a favor. I know people don't see it that way, but they're really doing us a favor, because high inflation, as we learned in the late 70s and early 80s, is not a good thing. It's not something we want.
Or as we look at Venezuela today.
Yeah. I mean, inflation at 2 million or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh. Yes. I mean, that makes the Weimar Republic look like,
that's right.
I don't know.
Looked like they knew what they were doing.
So
we don't want high inflation. No, nobody wants high inflation. High inflation is bad. We do want some inflation. You want low rates of inflation, and the Fed typically targets 2 to 3% per year as an inflationary target. You don't want deflation. That's a very, very bad thing. Deflation is what we had during the Depression.
Exactly.
And that's a terrible thing for an economy. That just shuts an economy down completely. But as we've seen in Venezuela and other places, high inflation can be also detrimental to the economy, and almost always is detrimental. It about shut down our economy in the late 70s, early 80s. We had very high rates of inflation, you know, 15, 20% rates in that neighborhood. Now, people thought they were making money on their CDs, you know, at 12%, 13%, yep. But they were still losing to inflation because inflation was running 15 to 20, well above what they were at. So we have to be very careful. And the Fed, the Fed has always, as Russell mentioned, has telegraphed what they were going to do. It was no surprise to Wall Street what the Fed was doing. The Fed's been telling us this for 3 years now, that they're going to raise interest rates. Well, they've been raising rates for the last year and a half. Roughly.
Incrementally,
in small increments of usually 25 basis points, a quarter of a point at a pop. And so they consistently do this over time. They will get us where we need to be. They don't want to ratchet up rates by a full percent or a half a percent because that would shock the markets and hurt the bond markets particularly. So this is the norm. This is the way business should be for the Fed, at least in my opinion.
All right. First off, the gold star for obscure historical reference goes to Steve Money, who brought up the Weimar Republic. And for those of you scratching your heads, that was the German government immediately after the First World War and before Mr. Hitler took over in 1933. And now I'll remind you that if you'd like a free copy of today's book, which has nothing to do with the Weimar Republic, Value Investing from Graham to Buffett, is the book Dan's giving away today. You can get your copy absolutely free. Call his office at 918-398-8387. 398-8387 for the free book. Do be sure and leave your name and address. More Money Talk after the break on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Perhaps you're enjoying a delicious bowl of honeycomb as we speak. Coming up here in 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. I'm going to keep some raindrops in the forecast for a couple days anyway. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, it's Fox News Sunday. If you have questions for us today, give us a shout. 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and Mr. Dan Witham gives away books.
We have a great book this week. It's called Value Investing, From Graham to Buffett and Beyond. It features interviews with some of Wall Street's top value investors. And we will send you a free copy of this book along with our information on our value stocks that we like to look at and like to buy at my office. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail, please. And we will send that out to you absolutely free. Steve, you probably heard me say this before. Only a person can turn a temporary decline in prices into a permanent loss of capital.
Yeah, that's right.
The market cannot do that. Your investments cannot do that. Only you can do that. So you have to be careful when the market's like this, not to do something dumb, for lack of a better term. I'm being kind, trying to be kind here.
Your diplomacy skills are
So, Steve, have you ever seen the movie The Wizard of Oz?
I have.
Russell, you probably have?
I think he was there, wasn't it?
Thanks. Yes, I was the Wicked Witch's third flying monkey.
So, I believe the movie was made in 1939.
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Okay. And I'm not an expert on the movie, so please don't hold me to that. Anyhow, at the beginning of the movie, Toto gets taken away, and Dorothy gets swept up in the tornado, right?
Right.
She ends up in Kansas or wherever she ends up. I can't remember.
Well, she starts in
Land
Kansas.
Of Oz.
She ends
starts
up in
Kansas.
Oz.
Yeah, I told you I'm not.
Have you seen the movie,
Dan?
Come on.
Okay.
Watch the movie before you talk about it. Come on.
She ends up in the Land of Oz and Land of the Wicked Witch of the West. At the end of the movie, Dorothy is home safe and sound with Toto. Am I right?
Now you've given away the whole thing.
Sorry. Okay.
No spoiler alert. Come on.
That's all right. It was all just a
generation of children are now ruined because you gave it away.
Sorry. Okay. It was all just a bad dream. So kind of like last week in the market, if you think about it. right? We know how the movie ends. We know where it ends up. We know where the chart goes in the long term. We don't know where it goes in the short run, but we do know where it goes in the long run, from the lower left corner to the upper right corner. And so we cannot make long-term decisions based on short-term events.
Right.
If your investment time frame is 30 years, then this week doesn't matter in the scheme of things. Does that make sense?
Yep.
A 4% drop, 5% drop in the market doesn't really matter in the scheme of a 30-year investment horizon. If your time horizon was 30 days or 30 hours or whatever, it might be 30 seconds, then this week matters. Absolutely. But for most of us, that should not be our time horizon. And if it is, you shouldn't be in the stock market. I will tell you, if your time horizon is 30 days, you don't belong in the market, because we don't know what the market will do in any given 30-day period. Now, Steve, I want to take you back in time to 2 months ago. All right?
All right.
If 2 months ago you came to me to invest, and I said to you, about middle of October, the market's going to drop 5%, and then it will go right back up by the end of October to where it was before it dropped. And I asked you, what will you do when this happens? What would be your answer?
Well, first of all, I would have waited for that 5% drop to happen.
Okay.
And I would have skipped that part.
Okay.
Then I'd have just come in. When it started to come back up, I would try to buy it at the lowest price.
Right. But let's say you were already invested. Let's say you had already given me your money, and we'd already put your money in the market. And I told you the market's going to drop 5%. It's going to go back up. Can you stand to stay in it and just sit there and ride it out?
I would just stay in it, yeah.
Right. So you probably wouldn't say, I'm going to cut and run like a little chicken and then get out and wait for it to go back up and then get back in the market.
I thought you were going to say something else. Oh. No. I would not have run like a little chicken. I'd stay in there and come back up.
Right. And so we have to keep this in mind, because the market does this. It did this in January, February, end of January, beginning of February of this year. We dropped 11%, the market did. And then it came back up. It took several months, but it did come back up. And so we have to remember, this is a buying opportunity. When markets do things like this, it's a buying opportunity. This is when values are found. And I ran my screen again this week, Russell, for my little price-to-book ratios and things that we like to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding stocks now below 20 cents on the dollar. I'm finding them at 15, 16 cents on the dollar, actually, selling for very, very cheap.
And your 19% stuff that you've talked about the last three or 4 weeks, that didn't do too badly.
Nope, did very well. Actually, it's held up much better than the market has over the last week or two. As a matter of fact, those stocks have the value stocks that I bought have held up very well. And so you have to remember that markets like this create values, and we have to have the mindset to take advantage of those values. And I want to talk for a minute about a theory that I want to disprove. The efficient markets hypothesis, Steve. I know your favorite subject.
You know, frequently late at night, Russell and I text about that.
I know you do.
We talk about this all the time.
Okay. It says we measure risk by standard deviation. The amount of squiggliness of the line, as Steve says. How much the line moves up or down, right?
The line being the stock chart.
The chart of the stock.
We've all seen that.
But I say that standard deviation is really the inverse of the risk, and I'll explain why. Wall Street says we measure risk. So if a stock is at 50, Steve, and it's worth 100, okay?
Yeah.
Stock's at 50. You buy it at 50, you know it's worth 100. The book value is 100, okay? Then the stock drops to 20, okay? Russell buys it at 20.
Okay.
Which one of you has more risk in the position?
No, we have the same risk.
No.
No.
Actually, you have more risk because
you have more risk.
Yeah, because I dropped.
Because you paid twice as much.
If it goes to zero, you're going to lose more money than
I. Yeah, that's why I went to college.
Okay. So
see, I tried to tell you that last night when we were texting. We're unlisting.
So, but what I'm trying to say here is the standard deviation spiked when the stock dropped from 50 to 20. Standard deviation went way up because the volatility increased on the stock, right, to the downside. But Russell bought the stock, and his buying it at 20 is far less risk than you buying it at 50, or if he'd bought it at 50, he has far less risk. So the risk actually didn't go up when the stock dropped. The risk went down to the buyer, to the new buyer. So it all depends on how you look at it, because Wall Street says that stock has increased in risk. But in my opinion, it's actually decreased in risk, because he's buying it for 20 cents on the dollar.
It would have only increased in risk had it gone up. Which, volatility-wise speaking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but generally the down is a much steeper drop than the climb back up.
It's usually faster, yes, absolutely. Almost always.
Almost
faster.
Like roller coaster.
Yes.
They always go slow up and really fast down.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
It's kind of like that on the market.
And the market measures, you know, risk by standard deviation, but what I'm trying to say is it really should be looking at how much is it worth, how much are you paying in relation to what it's worth. He's paying 20 cents on the dollar. You paid 50 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And so he got a great value. He has far less risk in the position than you do. I mean, that, to
that's
me,
what
that's
I meant
just,
to say, by the way.
That's all right. That's how I view it. And that's why I think Wall Street's got it backwards with that efficient market hypothesis. One of many reasons. After the break, I want to talk about something very, very important to police officers, teachers, and all federal and state employees for Social Security.
All right. There's your tease. So stick around for that. Meanwhile, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, it's called Value Investing, From Graham to Buffett. Call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. He will cheerfully rush you your own copy, absolutely free. Do be sure and leave your name and address when you call so they know where to send that book. Again, the number 918-398-8387. More Money Talk after the news on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up in less than half an hour now, it's time for Fox News Sunday. Bet I know what they're going to be talking about today. Meanwhile, Mr. Dan Witham, your host for Money Talk, because he is a good host, he gives gifts in the form of books. And every week, give away books. And this is one we have not given away before.
That's right. This one's called Value Investing, From Graham to Buffett and Beyond. It's an excellent book, and I'm actually reading it right now. As a matter of fact, I'm very pleased with the book. We'll send you a free copy of it, plus information on our value investments that we do run in my office. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail. And we'll send that out to you absolutely free, no cost, no obligation whatsoever. Steve, before the break, I promised to talk about Social Security and police officers, teachers, government employees, firefighters, state and federal government employees. They have a thing called the windfall elimination provision, which is, in my opinion only, grossly unfair, right? Okay, what it does is it says, Steve, if you work for TPD for 20 years and you reach retirement, you got a pension from TPD after 20 years, right?
Right.
If you didn't contribute to Social Security for those 20 years through TPD, which some of them did not, and then you went and you got a job in the private sector for the next 20 years, and right, you worked in Social Security, or contributed to Social Security, the Social Security Administration says, we're going to reduce your Social Security benefits by two-thirds of whatever your TPD pension is. Two-thirds. Okay?
Because?
Because you contributed to a system that doesn't partake in Social Security. That's their rationale for it. This is true. I'm not making this up, Russell.
I believe you. I'm just kind of arching my eyebrow at the thought process behind it.
Well, but and here's the drawback to it is for the 20 years, the second 20 years of Steve's career, he contributed to Social Security, just like
the
average person on the street contributes to Social Security. So he paid in just as much.
Right.
He won't get his benefit, though.
And here's one of my many gripes with that. The name of that is what the windfall
elimination. Yes.
Now, you worked for 20 years on the Tulsa Police Department or Fire Department.
Right.
You've worked 20 years in your second job. This is your money that you've invested, that you put in, but the government calls it a windfall like it was a gift.
Yes.
No, it was your money.
Right.
And that's the political philosophies that people don't get. There are people who actually believe that the government, that nothing you do is yours. Right. All you do is you exist to support the government.
Well,
and so it's a windfall that you worked 40 years, but now we need some of that because it's a windfall.
Well, the problem I have here is that the second part of his career, Steve contributed to Social Security for 20 years, and he may have put in, say, $3,000 a year into Social Security, whatever it might be. He put in $60,000, he contributed, but he's not going to get it because he gets this other pension. Well, the reason I bring this up is many police officers and firefighters are caught off guard by this. When they retire, they don't see this coming, and I'll tell you, it's coming. But B, there's some legislation right now sponsored by Ted Cruz and some people in Congress to eliminate the windfall elimination provision. Yes, to make it go away completely. And not only does it go away completely, but listen to this. If you're on Social Security and you're a TPD officer, let's say, and you've retired and you're getting your benefits are reduced, they're going to reinstate you.
So they're going to grandfather you
to day one.
Wow. That's a big deal.
That's huge.
That's like a huge deal.
Kind of an expensive proposition, yes. Right? So,
but yes. But it's your money.
It's money they
I get. Yeah. So, I so get it's kind of like, not arguing that.
We're going to give you your own money back. Money we shouldn't have taken, but we did. Now we're going to give it back to right. You. Aren't we magnanimous?
Money, which, by the way, we've already spent on other stuff. So I guess that's my question: is where are they?
They're going to have to figure out how to fund it. Obviously.
Yeah, yes, figure it out.
Okay. The law is called Equal Treatment of Public Servants Act of 2018. Equal Treatment of Public Servants Act of 2018.
That's great marketing.
And if you are a police officer, a firefighter, or a government employee, former or current, I would highly recommend you call your congressman and your senator and encourage them to get up to speed on this and to sponsor it and to help push it through. Now, I hope that this will go through. I don't know if it will or won't, but I certainly hope that it gets through and it passes. These people have paid into the system and they deserve this money, in my opinion. They paid into it. They should get what they paid for. And I think it's unfair that we treat them the way we do from a Social Security standpoint. And I think this is great that they're going to fix this or try to fix it. And I haven't looked into the funding on it. Russell, I figured that question was going to come up, but I haven't looked into the funding of it yet. But I'm sure there's a funding source in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they've thought of that. Yeah.
Right. There'd have to be. It's going to be expensive, yes. But it's the right thing to do. I mean, it's just my opinion for what it's worth, but it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, not because that they were police officers or firefighters or whatever. That doesn't really have anything to do with it. What has to do with it is it was your money to begin with.
Right. And they were forced to pay into it.
I don't care what you do for a living. It's your money. And I don't understand why people think it's like, oh, look at us. Aren't we great? We're giving you something. No, bro, you earned it to begin with. Man, I know you can't tell it frustrates me, but it does just a little bit.
Tell us how you really feel.
I have no idea.
Man.
All right. Now I'm going to change topics a little bit, Steve. I'm going to jump to some literature from the book.
Take a Xanax and let's go.
From the book that we're giving away today, Value Investing from Graham to Buffett and Beyond. And the author in this book points out about behavioral finance. He says the subject of behavioral finance has come in to disrupt the efficient markets hypothesis that we talked about a little bit earlier. He says information about stocks is interpreted, not simply digested. And not all that interpretation is rational. Can you get your head around that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and we've talked about this a lot. Data is data. People look at it differently. And right. We've talked about how the more data you have, the worse decisions you make sometimes. So, I mean, that's a hard thing to get your head around.
Absolutely. Well, then one of the things he also points out, and this is part of behavioral finance, he says that we always put more emphasis on recent news about a stock or a company than we do about older news. This is called recency bias.
That's right.
And the same with the market. You know, we look at the market, what the market did last week versus what it did over the last 10 years or what it did 10 years ago. We're always more concerned about what it's done over the last
16 months.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's been pretty good for the most part. It's grown. And then you have this one week because somebody hiccuped or something. And then, had this little jog in it. And then, every news channel is just like, my God, the sky's falling. The overreaction is just a little like, come on.
Okay.
Stuff happens.
And we're going to talk about, over the long run, reversion to the mean. Value stocks are stocks that typically have been underperforming of late. Right? They're beat up, they've been downtrodden, whatever you want to call it. They've been underperforming. And so in a reversion to the mean theory, they will have to increase their performance to get up to the average performance at some point. Conversely, growth stocks have been outperforming typically, which means they will have to come down to earth at some point and probably underperform going forward. And there's a quote here from Horace. You'll appreciate this, Russell. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a Roman philosopher.
Yes. From like 67 BC, yes. From a couple of years ago. Yes. The quote is, it's from Graham's security analysis, the beginning of the book starts with this. He says, many shall be restored that now are fallen, and many shall fall that now are in honor.
Which kind of explains reversion to the mean.
Absolutely.
In general.
Yes, exactly. And that's what that's all about. And that's what he's saying is, stocks that have fallen will eventually make their way back up, and stocks that are high right now will eventually fall, which is inevitably happens to all of them at some point or another. Their growth rate slows down at some point. It's bound to slow down. It has to at some point. You can't grow at 500% a year forever. When you're a small company, you can do that. But when you're the size of Walmart or Apple, it's just not feasible for them to grow with that kind of growth rate. And this is one of the things that we look at. The things that Graham likes are, Benjamin Graham I'm referring to, owning things where we're basing them on the past or the present valuations, price to book value, price to sales, price to cash flow. You know, growth fund investing is based on projections of the future, which is very subjective and oftentimes not correct. You know, Steve, even the government would probably admit it's harder to predict the future than the past.
No, I don't think they would admit that, actually. Once you're elected, you know everything.
That's right. For most of us, we
And it's not the elected people, it's the bureaucrats that know everything.
So what I'm trying to say, though, is it's when we look at investing, if you're looking at investment, it's easier to get the numbers about the past correct than it is to get the numbers about the future correct. And growth stock investing is about the future of a company, whereas value investing is about the past and the present of the company. You're using more objective numbers. Growth stock takes more subjective numbers and projections about the market, the company, what the company will do in relation to its market, if its market will grow, how much their share will grow or shrink, whatever might happen, along with the economy. Because all of those things can affect a growth stock. They can affect it adversely very quickly, especially the economy.
So what did gold do this past week?
It went up.
And why would that be?
Because fear. People are freaking out.
That's right. It's a panic buy. Right,
it's a fear trade. Gold,
I mean,
is
it
a
didn't go
trade.
Up like exponentially or anything, right. But it was up a few bucks.
Right.
But it did come back in time for Gold Rush to be back on, and that's really all I care about. So
that's the gold Steve worried about.
That's the only gold I worry about. What's on Discovery Channel?
Yeah, gold is a fear trade. If you go back to 08 and 09, gold did phenomenally well. It shot way up.
And I'm sorry, I still don't understand. Okay, if like the zombie apocalypse happens,
right.
And I have this giant vault of gold, what in the heck good is that going to do? What do I make it into little balls and throw it at zombies?
That's what pieces of eight were for. You could literally
break
off a piece of eight, have 1/8 of an ounce or whatever it was, and that's how you did it.
Well, there's a company now, I can't remember who it is, I heard on the radio advertising, they are selling little tiny slivers of silver for you to carry in your wallet, Steve, like coins, almost to use, almost like currency. And they're selling, you know, like an eighth of an ounce or whatever it is, but they're only worth, an eighth of an ounce is like $3 or $2. So it's
not very much. And they don't work. Taken at all stores everywhere,
in
right?
vending machines or grocery stores or gas stations or I don't know where you're spending those, but.
I got a sliver of silver.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, and the downside to gold is you also have to pay to store it. If you buy gold, you have to pay to store it. So there's a cost involved. Even if it doesn't go up,
you still
have to pay. You can still lose money on gold even if it stays at the same price.
You can't eat it and you can't build with it. I'm just saying, if the zombies come, the gold's not going to do you a lot of good. All right. If you'd like a free copy of today's book, Dan giving away books like he does every week. Today's book is Value Investing from Graham to Buffett. You can call his office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so he knows where to send the book. 918-398-8387. More Money Talk live and local right after this on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up in 8 minutes on the button, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast. Going to be rainy and sprinkly the next couple days and a little chilly. So enjoy that 58 out there. It's going to go down. All that coming up next. And then next hour, Fox News Sunday. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham. And Mr. Witham's giving away books.
He's killing the music today, by the way.
Yes.
Great music.
Good job. As always.
I do like the music. Anyhow, the book this week, Value Investing from Graham to Buffett and Beyond. You can get a free copy of it. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address. We'll send you that book along with information on our value investments, which I'm going to talk about here right now, as a matter of fact. Steve, if we buy a stock for 20 cents on the dollar, okay.
All right.
And our objective is to sell it for 50 cents on the dollar.
All right.
You with me so far, Russell?
We have a plan. Buy a 20, sell it 50.
I'm doing math here, but stay with me.
Buy low, sell a little higher. Yeah.
Okay. So if I buy it at 20 and I sell it at 50, I make 150% return.
All right.
Trust me, I did the math before we came in here, so hopefully that's correct. Anyhow, so I'm not affected by what the market did this past week because my stock may have gone from 25 cents on the dollar to 23 cents on the dollar. I don't care. Because I'm just going to sell it Wednesday when it gets to
50.
My target didn't change, right?
Right.
Based on what the market did, my target is the same. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you stick with the plan.
Yes.
That would be the key there.
But if we buy a growth stock at 20 or 50, then the market does this or does that, then our plans change, our target changes, and everything changes. So it's much more difficult to withstand volatile markets. If we're a value investor, we really don't care what the market does. It doesn't affect our profit on the stock. It will just affect our time until we reach that profit. It may extend the time. It may shorten the duration of the holding period. Does that make sense?
Why is that different for value stocks than for growth stocks?
Because when you buy a value stock, you are buying it based on what the assets are worth, and you're only waiting for them to get to what you know is half of their full value. Let's just say 50 cents on the dollar is what we're talking about. When you buy a growth stock, you're not basing it on anything that the assets are worth. You're basing it on revenue projections for the company.
On what you think it's going to do.
Right. So if you think XYZ company is going to grow its profits by 100% a year going forward, you pay $50 for it, you think you're going to sell it at 75 or 100, and the next quarter their earnings come out and they're only up 50%. Your stock gets dumped and goes down to 30 from 50 to $30 or whatever, then you really will not have a chance of it ever getting to 75 because the projections have changed for your stock, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the future projections versus past and current positions or assets the company might have. It's a totally different approach to investing. And this is why I like it so much, because when we buy stocks for 15 or 20 cents on the dollar, we don't really have to worry about what the market does. We don't care. We know when we're going to sell the stock. When it hits 50 cents on the dollar, we're going to sell it. We don't care if it takes a year or 2 years. If it takes me 2 years to make 150% return, I will gladly hold that stock for 2 years. I have no problem with that at all. If it takes me 1 year, that's even better. So the market's volatility and fluctuation may affect my time frame, but it doesn't ultimately affect my return on my investment. Does that make sense?
So I guess I'm still a little confused as to why it does on the growth stock. Because, okay, so the growth stock lost some value, right, and it may take 8 years to get back to where I wanted it to be. But we're still waiting.
Okay, well, because the reason is on the growth stock side, the stock may never reach its goal, because your goal is based on earnings estimates and projected earnings estimates going forward, and those don't always come to fruition. Oftentimes they don't come to fruition, or it will slow down a little bit on its growth
rate. Which is much more likely to happen with a value stock, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, with a value stock, you're more likely to get to your target because you know what the stock is worth. If you're buying it based on the book value, and what Graham says is to buy stocks at 50 cents or less on the dollar. That's his margin of safety. He wants to buy for 50 cents or less. So what we're trying to do, actually in my office, is we're trying to buy them for 20 cents on the dollar, and we're trying to sell them at 50 when they hit where Graham would buy them at. I'm trying to sell them at that level. So we have a much bigger margin of safety, if you will, by paying 20 cents on the dollar instead of 50 cents on the dollar. Right. 50 cents on the dollar is a good purchase price, a good amount. There's no doubt about that. I like 20 better. If I can buy it for 20, I want to buy it for 20. And I'm finding plenty of stocks out there that I can do that with. And there's now, after last week, there's even more available that we can do that with. The market creates values when it does these kinds of things. And, you know, this is why Warren Buffett relishes a bear market. This is why he lives for a bear market. That's what he wants, because it brings value to him. With the trick to value investing is you have to be patient. If you buy a stock, you have to be willing to hold it for a year or 2 years, maybe 3 years. You just have to be patient. You've got to wait for Mr. Market. He will do his thing. Eventually, he will drive your price up. You just have to wait.
Here's the thing that gets me on the growth stuff, though, is they predict earnings for the next quarter or whatever, and they might be off a little bit. I mean, you don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
And you might be off just a little bit, but the news then becomes catastrophic. Oh, they missed their predictions, and now
yes. The
sky's falling, you know, and I'm like, dude, it was like a 0.5% or something, you know?
So. Well, it's all about expectations. And this goes back to what Russell was asking me about. If your stock's expected to grow at 100% a year, Steve, and your growth stock and my value stock is expected to grow at 5% a year,
yeah,
who do you think is more likely to hit their target?
Yeah,
mine's a lot easier to hit. Yep. Let's face it. It's a lot easier to hit. And so the expectations for my stock are much lower, which is why my stock has a low price. That's why it's dropped in price. Your stock has run up because it's got great expectations. Now, if it doesn't live up to those expectations, it's going to get punished. And we saw that with Facebook. You know,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
On July 25th, when their earnings came out, they dropped 20% overnight. And they actually beat their expectations when that happened, which is
hard
to fathom. Yes. The problem was they didn't beat it by enough, which is that's the growth stock world.
Isn't that... That just seems like moving the goalposts. Yes, you got your 100 yards, you got your touchdown. Oh, wait, no, darn it, we just added 10 more yards to the end zone. Sorry, now you're failures and you can go home in shame.
That's right. We say the target's here, but in reality, the investor's mind, it's somewhere higher than what it really
is. Mr. Market
is
a mean, bad guy. Yes. All right, we are out of time. Interesting stuff, though. Thank you. And if you'd like a free copy of today's book, Value Investing from Graham to Buffett, Dan will send it to you. At no charge, just call his office, 918-398-8387. Make sure you leave your name and address, 918-398-8387. 888-398-8387. I'm Russell Mills. You've been listening to Money Talk. See you next Sunday at 10. Fox News Sunday's next.
And Subaru and Broken Arrow Studios.
KRMG FM Sand Springs. KRMG Tulsa. A Cox Media Group station.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.